welcome back to the Voice of the Agent podcast. I'm Toby Martin. Well, it's a blustery December day. I keep getting all sorts blown past my window. Leaves, branches, small children. Definitely a day for putting on your favourite Christmas movie, which, come to think of it, is a whole different topic that we need to run a survey on, really. I'm squarely in the It's a Wonderful Life camp, but I've also got a real soft spot for the Hudsucker Proxy. Do you know that one? Early Coen Brothers film. Technically, it might be a New Year's movie. What about Die Hard, then? What are we saying? Christmas movie or not? Personally, I'm not convinced that you can just set a film in December and call it a Christmas movie. But look at me. A minute in and getting sidetracked already. So thank you for tuning into the Voice of the Agent podcast. Today, we're doing something a little bit different. If you've been here before, you might know the usual routine. Some weeks you get Simon Ledbetter in full forensic interrogator mode, extracting wisdom from a poor unsuspecting guest who probably thought they were coming in for a cozy chat. Other weeks you get me unpacking even the latest findings from the Voice of the Agent surveys. Data, sentiment, the absolute chaos agents are navigating on the ground. But today we're starting something new, which I'm really excited to bring you. This is the first in a series where we bring you live content from the Voice of the Agent conference that happened in November 2025 at Bletchley Park. The talks that really made an impact in the room, the ones where people were taking photos of the slides, where we heard a collective wow ripple through the audience. If you weren't able to make it to the Voice of the Agent conference, wow, what a day. I'm pleased to say we'll be repeating it in 2026, so you'll definitely get a chance to join us. But we had 18 speakers on the day who each brought their own unique insights and approach. A theme of data laced through the day. Of course it is, because we're the Voice of the Agent and we're all about data. And genuinely, there was no better person to launch this series with than with Kate Faulkner, OBE. If I were in charge of designing a national curriculum for a state agency, which frankly, the country would be in a much worse place if I were, I would definitely have Kate's talk on page one. Mandatory, no exemptions. You don't get a set of office keys until you've listened to her explain the housing market. If you don't know Kate, first of all, how dare you? But secondly, she's one of the UK's most respected property experts, a proper analyst, a communicator, a myth buster, and one of the few people who can actually make housing policy sound gripping. That might sound extraordinary to you, but believe me, in the hands of Kate, even dry data about the housing market can sound enthralling. She runs the consumer education site Property Checklists, chairs the Home Buying and Selling Group, works with DLUHC or whichever derivation of those letters they're currently going with. She appears regularly on BBC TV and radio. She's written 11 property books and somehow still finds time to help everyone from lenders to agents to surveyors understand what's actually happening in the market. And just after the Voice of the Agent conference, coincidence or kingpin makers, queenpin makers? I don't know if that word's been updated. Anyway, just after the Voice of the Agent conference, she picked up a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Negotiator Awards as well, which tells you everything you need to know about Kate. So before we play this excerpt from her keynote talk, a tiny bit of context. This was Kate's first big outing after several weeks at home recovering from a knee replacement. This, as you'll hear, it wasn't just a talk for Kate. This was definitely a release of energy. And my word, you can hear it. She walked onto that stage at Bletchley Park with the kind of pent-up enthusiasm only someone who's been stuck indoors for a month can bring. And we all benefited for it. What you're about to hear is Kate in full flight. Sharp, funny, frustrated, passionate and absolutely determined to cut through the noise about the housing market. She doesn't tiptoe, she doesn't hedge, she goes straight for the jugular of the accepted wisdom we all see in the headlines, and she does it with the clarity of someone who has spent 25 years swimming in the data. So we join Kate just as she starts lifting the bonnet on UK housing over the last few decades. The decisions, the policies, the unintended consequences, the things everyone thinks they know, but doesn't, and how all of that feeds directly into the market we're operating in today. I won't spoil the specifics. I want you to hear it exactly as the room heard it. But what I will say is this. This is the kind of explanation we desperately need more of in our industry. Honest, evidence-based, no theatrics, apart from a bit of shouting, which she does apologise for, but absolutely no sugarcoating. So settle in and enjoy this electrifying slice of Kate Faulkner live at the Voice of the Agent. I'll be back afterwards to wrap up.
Zimbabwe 2014, best news ever. I thought it was a bit of a mistake. But when the government came out and said, we're going to cap the amount lenders can lend at 4.5 times, and we're going to make sure that first-time buyers are assessed on long-term interest rates, not at the 1.2%, that's why we didn't have a crash in 2022. One of the major reasons why we didn't. And it has now capped house prices. Just like for those of us, remember, you couldn't borrow more than 3.5 times your income in 2000. And it's after that when everything went wrong. And the problem is, while we've done this tinkering, we have spent the last 30 years not solving what, in my view, is the real housing crisis. And what everybody has really forgotten is it actually wasn't your fault, or landlords, or private developers. The thing that went very wrong was the policies that were implemented in the first place. This is a chart. I haven't got it quite up to the end, but see that blue bit? That was council, social housing. I don't understand why people don't bring up this chart when they talk about the housing crisis every time. If you're going to stop building all of those and have lots of population increases, there's going to be a problem. And that problem's quite big. 1.4 million households are eligible, owed a social home. They should all be out on the streets demonstrating, in my view, because it is outrageous that they weren't built for them. And then, miracle move. I know, we won't build anymore. And then we'll sell off 2 million of them. Probably don't need it. Sorry if I'm shouting. You probably don't need me to have anything. I do apologise if you've got headphones on at home. And then when we sold these homes, we were supposed to take that money and we were supposed to build back the social homes. We only built 2 out of 10. And then actually some of those figures are 1 out of 10. This is, I think, one of the most important charts that people don't get. So let's start with those social homes, which is the grey line. 30% of the homes were social homes. Now you can see it going down. Don't worry about the private rented sector. Have a little look at the top line. Guess what? If you sell off 2 million social homes, you will artificially probably increase the amount of people that own homes for a little while, won't you? It's fairly natural to have to be a statistical genius, because I'm certainly not. So it's not a surprise, actually, that it's fallen since then. But here's the other thing. We keep blaming the loss of people not buying homes and people in social homes, etc., because they're renting in the private sector, on private landlords. But actually, when you look at this chart, the private sector really took off just before and just after the recession, just during the recession, because nobody else could afford to buy. So people started. That's what really kick-started it. Buy-to-let had been going since 1997. So I have a real question mark over what actually happened. And really what we've done is we've taken 1 million people or 1 million households out of the social sector and put them in a private rented sector that they should never have been in the first place. That wasn't landlord's fault, and it certainly wasn't agent's fault. We then all collaborated together from the 90s to vastly increase the price of properties. And that was firstly done by the government, because not only did they get rid of council houses and stop building them, they also thought, ooh, private rented sector needs to increase. Let's introduce ASTs. And off the back of ASTs, not evil landlords and agents, just as a reminder, lenders said, well, we don't mind lending on them, but we need to get people out just in case we need to repossess the property. So they went, oh, let's have a Section 21. Anybody remember those Section 21s? I think you might have a few. And then that enabled buy-to-let mortgages, which did bring more money into property at a time when financial assets, everything were crashing around us. Then the lenders thought, oh, well, we do want to sell more properties, so we'll take off that 3.5 times income. You can have affordability, which means if I haven't got kids and somebody else has, I can borrow 4 or 5 times my income. So we put more money into property. And then one thing everybody's forgot is we started inheriting homes more in 2000 than I think at any other time. Very simple reason. 1975 was the first year where more people owned homes than rented. We buy on 25-year mortgages. So we started getting all this other money in. And then when we got that money in, we thought, oh, look, prices are going up. We'll go and give it to our kids so they can still buy. And so deposits have gone up naturally by, not because they have to, doubled. And then because we've got an aging population in 2017, more people now own a home than they ever did before. So two things have happened. This is one of the most interesting stats, I think, from Zoopla. So I'm a little slow. I've had a knee replacement, so I'm very happy, but I just don't walk as well as I do normally. 1 in 2 buyers out there either buy with cash or have a 50% loan to value or less mortgage. Just sit on that a minute because I need a drink. Not vodka, somebody suggested earlier. So they're not restricted by their income, half of them, are they?
And breathe. I don't know about you, but every time I hear that talk, even in small bursts, I'm struck by just how much clarity Kate brings to conversations that are so often wrapped in myth, noise, and whatever headline the newspapers are running that week. It's like someone finally switches the big light on in a room we've all been stumbling around in for years. And remember, what you've just heard is only a small slice of her full 30-minute keynote. After the section you've just listened to, she went on to unpack some of the most important and least understood dynamics in today's market. Things like why average house price data is dangerously misleading for agents, why different towns and cities behave like completely separate economies, why flats in parts of London haven't risen in value for years while houses have surged, why affordability ratios should be taken out behind the barn and retired forever, and why a huge proportion of buyers today are driven not by income, but by equity. She also challenges one of the biggest stories the media love to tell, that rents are spiraling out of control everywhere for everyone all the time. And in classic Kate style, she doesn't just tell you it's wrong. She pulls out the ONS charts, points to the data, and explains exactly why the narrative doesn't match reality. And perhaps the most important part of the whole talk, the bit that really stuck with me, is her call to arms for the industry. The idea that if we as agents don't understand our markets deeply, if we don't challenge lazy national narratives, if we don't speak up locally and educate and correct and contextualize, then bad policy fills the gap. Because if the public don't know what's really happening, policy gets written for the wrong problem. And that's why Kate's work matters so much. She doesn't just analyze, she doesn't just communicate, she's effectively giving the industry a language to explain what's going on to the media, to landlords, to sellers, to tenants, to local authorities, so that decisions can actually be rooted in reality. It's one of the reasons why Simon wanted her on stage at the Voice of the Agent conference. And she's a big part of why we're so proud of the conference content this year. And on that note, if you want to watch Kate's full keynote exactly as it happened at Bletchley Park, in full, unabridged, along with all the other sessions from the day, you can. We've put together a full, unabridged, beautifully produced movie of the conference. Every keynote, every panel, all the visuals lovingly crafted by our friends at PBS Media, who genuinely made it look about 5 times more glamorous than the reality of us running around on no sleep. You can find it at wearunchained.co.uk. That's because for some reason my teeth fell out halfway through that. That's wearunchained.co.uk. Do you know what there? I think I just choked on trying to sell you something, because quite frankly, obviously I want you to buy these videos. They are worth your time, but I think I choked on my own sales line there. So let me put my teeth back in. You can find it at weareunchained.co.uk. And if you enjoyed this clip, the full thing is absolutely worth your time, whether you're an agent, manager, director, or just someone who wants to understand the market without being misled by the headlines. Big thank you to Kate Faulkner, OBE, for appearing at the Voice of the Agent conference, along with all of our other speakers. And over the next few weeks, we'll bring you more excerpts from the conference stage, featuring some of the most interesting and thought-provoking voices in the industry. We've got Heather Staff, who delivered one of the most inspirational, practical talks of the whole day. We've got Will Alstein from YouGov, who took us deep into consumer data in a way that had the room frantically scribbling notes. We've got our prime market panel, our conveyancing panel, and many, many, many more speakers. They'll be brought to you clips in future podcasts and the full talks available to download from our website if you choose to do so. So if you enjoyed this episode, and if Kate has rearranged your understanding of the housing market in the same way she did for the rest of us, please make sure you hit follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss what's coming next. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting Voice of the Agent, and thank you, as always, for being a part of this wonderful profession that genuinely shapes people's lives. I'm Toby Martin, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye for now.